Welcome to the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. Please enjoy the podcast from My Lesbian Radio.
This episode of the Lesbian Book Club, we're talking to author Amy Dunn all about her and her writing. So hello Amy, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me on here.
You are very welcome. It's fantastic to have you here. Amy's going to be waiting in the wings for a couple of minutes while I just go through a roundup of what's moving and shaking in the Amazon lesbian charts at the moment in the UK and in the US. Top five in the UK charts this week include Jade Winter's new one, Secrets, which is being really well received on both sides of the Atlantic. Jade's written this one in conjunction with Alexis Bailey and continues her prolific output of work, putting me and other authors, frankly, to shame. But well done, Jade. Debut author Kat Fletcher, who hails from Massachusetts in the US of A, sits on top of the UK pile right now, with her book 7 Minutes in Heaven, which is about two childhood friends meeting again and rekindling their passion. I hope their passion lasts more than 7 minutes, because call me picky, I would like it to. But I haven't read the book, so I can't tell you. Have you read the book, Amy?
No, I haven't, I'm afraid.
So we're all on tenterhooks. Does it last more than 7 minutes? Read the book and find out. Also up there is one of my favourite authors, Georgia Beers, with her new book Zero Visibility. With temperatures in Georgia's home state of New York this week plummeting to freezing and visibility actually becoming a problem, Beers this week said she was going to call her next book 72 degrees, sunny, no humidity. I'd read it, Georgia. It sounds like a page-turner. And meanwhile, Marjorie Jones' book, Lesbian Romance, Loving the Heartland, a lesbian cowgirl contemporary romance novel, could definitely have done with some title revision, I feel. But hey, it's got a horse on the front, so it's all good. Any horses on the front of covers of your books, Amy?
As of this moment, no. Who knows in the future, though?
I think it's something you should definitely consider. Horses.
I will do. I mean, I've had a dog on one cover, so...
Yeah, yeah. But horses go down really well with the lesbian community, apparently. So there you go. That's what's moving and shaking the lesbian fiction top fives in the UK and the US. But now it's back to Amy. And if you don't know about Amy Dunn, she's published two novels so far, Secret Lies and Seasons Meetings, the first of which won a Goldie in 2014, which is the highest accolade in the world of lesfic. And tonight we're going to chat with Amy about her work, what's next, and the key question: after Secret Lies and Seasons Meetings, will her next book title also begin with an S? So Amy, can you reveal to us, will it begin with an S?
I'm afraid not. No, this one doesn't have an S. I did consider it. I racked my brains trying to come up with a title for the third one that began with an S. Mm-hmm. But tragically, I failed. So instead, it's called The Renegade.
The Renegade. I like that title, though, The Renegade. And it's good to mix it up, you know. You're not just an S woman now.
I'm not.
I'm having the same trouble with my third book at the moment, because my last two began with L. So I'm trying to get away from the letter L, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. I still haven't got a title.
Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck. I hope you get away from L.
Thank you. So what have you been up to today?
Today has been a wonderful day. I've had my first day off work in ages.
Oh, good.
And so has my wife. So we basically donned our best pyjamas, mm-hmm. had some coffee, had my mother and my sister visit, and just watched terrible TV all day. It's been wonderful.
Terrible TV. Did you fit in A Place in the Sun, Winter Sun? It's a favourite of mine.
No, not today. Today we've been catching up on things that we've recorded in recent nights. So we've been watching Catfish and documentaries, and yeah, we've just filled our day with that, and it's been wonderful.
Sounds good. So you're buzzing on the caffeine right now.
I am really buzzing on the caffeine, and I doubt I'm going to sleep tonight.
Jolly good. Are you working tomorrow though?
No, fortunately I have tomorrow and Saturday off, so...
Right, cool. So it's a bit of a chilled few days for you now.
It is. I can stay up late and not kind of suffer for it the next day, cool. thankfully.
So, you published your first novel, Secret Lies, in 2013, and your last one, Seasons Meetings, came out a year later. So tell me a bit about the difference between publishing book one and book two. What are they?
Well, with Secret Lies, I originally didn't intend, I didn't write with the intention of getting it published. It was just an idea of whether I could actually sit down and motivate myself to write a story from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. So there was no pressure. I didn't really have a clue what I was doing. I just enjoyed sitting there. It was really therapeutic. And then when it was finished, that's when I began to consider maybe I'd like to publish it and everything that comes with that. Mm-hmm. With Seasons Meetings, I submitted a proposal, profiles for all of the characters and the plots. So I knew exactly what was going to happen, and I also had a deadline, which made me a little bit uneasy, because whenever I get a deadline, I freak out mm-hmm. that I might not be able to meet it, which is weird, because I always do, but it's just in the back of my mind. But Seasons Meetings was literally written in 3 months. It was easy, it was fun, I thoroughly enjoyed it, whereas Secret Lies, that took a long time to write.
Right, how long would you say?
I would say three and a half years, really, with Secret Lies.
Right, okay. That's not bad for a book one. That's not bad at all. Mine took 5 years, so you know, that's 3.5, and I've heard a lot longer, so that's not bad. But 3 months for Seasons Meetings, that's pretty good. Was that just your first draft?
No, that was finishing it and sending it to my editor.
Goodness.
Secret Lies was so dark and gritty and complex, mm-hmm. whereas Seasons Meetings is light-hearted and festive.
Yeah.
It was so much easier to write that.
Right.
Definitely.
Cool. So, and as you say, Secret Lies is YA book, which deals with self-harm and abuse, and it is a bit darker and grittier. So what made you want to tackle an issue like that?
At the time, I was working as a carer in a residential home with young people who had been taken into care. Mm-hmm. And I remember on one occasion, I asked one of the young ladies why they didn't enjoy reading. And her answer really struck me as powerful. She said that she didn't like reading because the characters in the books, their lives were perfect. They'd never gone through anything like she'd gone through.
Right.
And it just reminded her that she wasn't normal.
Yeah.
And that really affected me. I went home and told my wife, right, I think I'm going to give it a go. I want to write the YA novel that I would have loved to have read when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. I want to include self-harm. I want to include abuse. I know they're slightly taboo subjects, but I want to kind of broach them and show that young people do have these issues in their lives, but they can get over them,
mm-hmm.
And show the resilience, because they were the most resilient people I've ever met, and they didn't let it drag them down, and I really wanted to incorporate that into a book.
Yeah.
So yes, that's where it came from.
Cool. And do you know if these youngsters have read it or?
I haven't heard from any of them, mm-hmm. so I can't say that they have.
Mm-hmm.
I left there a year or so later to move on to adult training courses.
Yeah.
I'd love to know if they had read it and what they thought of it. But as I say, at the moment, I haven't heard from them.
Right.
But I have heard from other readers of kind of a similar age group, and they've sent emails saying how much it's affected them and how they can relate to the characters, and that's just wonderful.
Yeah, definitely, especially with stuff with issues like that. That sort of really makes it worthwhile, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really. When it came to writing it, I was nervous because I knew it was going to be one of those books people either loved or hated.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't really going to be the middle ground. But it's been so well received that just, you know, it makes it so worthwhile.
Yeah. So probably more than getting the Goldie for it, but is all the feedback you've had from it from readers?
Yeah, I mean, well, I can't slate the Goldie because that's incredible, and it's on my shelf in the office, and I love it.
Yeah.
But the feedback is, it's such a personal thing. you know, people are taking the time to write to you, explain how they feel, what they think, and really share personal information. And that is just, I mean, I never even envisioned that when I set out on writing it. So It's incredible.
Yeah.
It really is.
And your second book, as you say, is more of a traditional romance focusing on the festive season. And you're a lover of Christmas, I know. Is this the book you've always wanted to write as well?
Weirdly, I'd never considered myself writing a festive romance. I'd always knew that if I was going to write a book, it would actually be Secret Lies, because that's based loosely on a short story I wrote at GCSE. So I always knew in the back of my mind that if I was going to write something, it would be that.
Right.
Seasons meetings came from nowhere, really. I was just talking to my wife about how Christmas is over too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, well, why don't you write a story? And then 2 days later, I had the character profiles and everything ready to send off to the publisher to see if they were interested.
You work quickly at this.
Well, I did with that one. I think that might be the only one where it's that easy.
Right.
Because the third one's not. It's not proven to be as easy as that.
Right.
But yeah, no. It was a snowball effect for a snowball filled book, basically.
See what you did there. I like it. I like it. but one thing I thought about it was the release date of it. Did you find the release date of it a bit strange? Your publisher released it like about 10 days before Christmas?
It was a strange one, because originally my third book that's coming out in September was due to be released on that date, on December the 15th.
Right.
That isn't a Christmas book. You couldn't get more far away from Christmas if you tried.
Mm-hmm.
And so with Seasons Meetings, originally that was going to be published in March, which is a really bad date for publishing a festive romance.
Yeah, do they not know that? Is it different in America? Does Christmas fall in March?
No. It was just how it is. Because of me submitting the proposal late, we got an email around saying, if anyone's got any ideas for this year, you need to get them in ASAP.
Right.
And trust me to come out with, a Christmas one. So they actually approached me and said, we know it's a little bit short notice. Would you be interested in swapping the dates? That way we can publish it in Christmas as it is a festive romance. And I was like, that's perfect. So, I mean, I think it fell quite well because it gave me the opportunity to do promotion on social media from kind of late October, the start of November. And then obviously, as we say, at least it was published in December. That's better than March. Definitely.
Yes, definitely better than March, yeah. And I always think with these festive books as well, one thing I noticed, especially this year, a bit like festive records, aren't they? I think people buy them again and again. So I saw a lot of, it's going to be a book that will sell every year around Christmas. So that's good for you.
That never occurred to me originally. Very naive and just not thinking, but... yeah, I think, well, hopefully, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it, if it did sell every year?
Well, yes, it did. I saw it happen this year because I was sort of looking at the charts more, I suppose, because I had a book out. So, and I saw a couple of Christmas ones come up. So I think there you go. You're on a winner every year there.
I hope so. And that's, you know, I wanted a story that could really make people love that festive feeling, and hopefully it does that. I've had quite a lot of positive feedback from readers, and you know, every year now, I mean, every year I'm going to pick it up and read it, because it just makes me laugh.
Mm-hmm. And did you do anything different at Christmas this year, now you had a book out?
Yes, we actually had a little release party, because I never had one with Secret Lies. But it seemed that we couldn't really not have a release party for Seasons Meetings at Christmas.
Yeah.
So we had a little Christmas-themed release party with the Christmas tree and mince pies and a homemade gingerbread house. And
right.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
And who came along to that? Was it friends and family, or was it...
Yeah, mostly just friends and family.
Yeah.
We had it at my parents' house, and Kimmy was there. because obviously she's included in the book, our little Cairn Terrier. So she was there to meet and greet everybody and cover them in paw prints because she was digging holes in the garden. She was all nice and clean before it started.
Yeah.
And then as soon as she went outside, she dug a massive hole.
Did she have any Christmas outfit on? Do you dress your dog up for Christmas?
She did. We got her a special woolen jumper knitted with SM on for season's meetings, and she loved it. She was running around with that on, and we tried to get her in a Christmas outfit, but she's put a little bit of weight on.
Yeah,
I think we've been feeding her too many treats because we couldn't fasten it, so that was a no-go in the end.
Right. And I want to talk to you a bit about the process of publishing, because I'm self-published and you're published with Bold Strokes Books, who are based in the US. And I know that you, when you sent in Secret Lies at first, it was rejected and you had to resubmit. Do you want to tell me a little bit about the process of that?
Yeah, as I said, originally I hadn't intended to publish it. But then when you've written however many thousand words and invested years of your life, you kind of think, well, maybe I would like it out there. Now, I am the most untechnically minded individual you could come across. I don't have a clue. I was the last of my friends to get a Facebook account. Somebody else had to set me up on Twitter. So I'm just, if it's technologies involved, I just cannot cope, basically. So I'll be honest with you, the thought of self-publishing, it never even entered my head.
Right, okay.
Because it would scare me.
Okay.
But Bold Strokes Books, I've always been a fan of their authors. Them and Bella, I've always hoarded the books and read them.
Yeah, they've got some strong authors there.
Oh, definitely. And it was just the natural connection I made of, well, if I'm going to publish, who would I want to publish with?
Mm-hmm.
And Bold Strokes, they were top of the bill. And they also have a UK book event every year in Nottingham.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite local to Nottingham. So it meant that I could go there and hear the authors speak. And they're basically, it struck me how they were like a little family. And that was it. I wanted to go there. So I submitted the book. And then I heard back and they said, unfortunately, it's a little bit too dark, not quite what we're after at the moment. But if you're interested in making a few changes, we'd love to look at it again. So I asked for the feedback. And in hindsight, they were definitely right. The story back then was a lot darker than it ended up being.
Okay.
And I think it was definitely the right decision to make those changes. It became a stronger book because of it.
Right.
And the other thing is, I can't spell to save my life, and I'm awful at grammar. So the bonus is you get an editor. In my case, two wonderful editors, and they've helped me on the path to see the error of my many ways that I make when writing books.
Okay.
So for me, it was a perfect fit.
Right.
They've helped with every aspect of it, and mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been able to do it without them.
Okay. So for you, it was the support that you would get as well from the traditional publisher, rather than going indie.
Yeah, and I suppose also, as I said, I'm such a big fan of other authors with them.
Right.
It's kind of a privilege to be among them.
Sure.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is it Bold Strokes that do like a writer's retreat every year? Have you been on that or...?
Yeah, they do. It's not necessarily every year, but they do have a get-together for all the authors in New York. Unfortunately, my partner and I weren't able to attend this year, but I cannot wait for the time when we can go over there. I've never been to America,
and I
feel like I know so many of them.
Yeah,
it will
yeah.
just be like a big family gathering. I cannot wait. It will be amazing when I do get over
you'll
there.
You have to come back on and report back. Tell us all the gossip.
Oh, I will.
Yeah.
All the gossip. Yeah, definitely.
And because you're published with an American publisher, what's their take on British words and idioms and spellings? Is that a fight you have, or are you allowed to keep a lot of it?
With me, it's definitely not been a fight. I think, generally speaking, they quite like the American spellings and the grammar and things. Originally, I remember my editor saying, well, I'm going to have a look through, and it might be that we choose to go down the American spellings. And I was like, that's fine, let me know. And within 5 minutes, I got an email back saying, it's not going to happen because there's too many British spellings in there. Yeah. It would take an age to edit them out. And I was like, I didn't think that. So I got to keep it all. And with Seasons Meeting, it never even came up. They were quite happy.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I've always wondered that, thinking, you know, do they have a fight about it or not? Because I know that people do keep them, but I just wondered if it was a fight. But there you go.
No, I think they go with whatever sounds best and more authentic with the story. And obviously, mine is set in the UK.
Yeah.
So it would change the voice, I think, if all of a sudden it had Americanness to it.
Yeah.
And I was originally concerned because obviously the biggest market is the US market, and mm-hmm. you wonder how is it going to be perceived.
Yeah.
But as I said, it's been wonderful, so I can't complain.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same. I've had a lot of people respond to my books, American readers, saying that they've learnt a lot of new words. So there you go. I think, really, have you? Okay.
But yeah, we take it for granted.
Yeah. They're quite happy to learn them, though, so that's cool.
Yeah, there's a few words that they did have to change in the end. I'm trying to think now. Clocked. You know how we might say, oh, and as she walked into the room, she clocked her.
Yeah.
We had to change that because they were very adamant that in America, clocked means punch. It does not mean. Kind of, you know, catch them with your eye.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. We had to change that because I didn't want any physical violence in that scene.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe leave it in a couple of others just to keep them on their toes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I know you have a day job. Is it easy to fit writing in around it?
Well, up to a few weeks ago, I was working at the theatre in the evenings. Mm-hmm. And that was it. So I had the daytime and the nighttime when I got back to write.
Yeah.
But I've just recently started working a bakery, mm-hmm. and that means getting up at 4:30 in the morning. So I'm in bed by 8 o'clock at night, and honestly, my writing has really suffered. I'm that tired. Mm. I've just not been able to sit there and get in the zone. Mm-hmm. However, I'm hoping, along with the muscles that I'm kind of producing at the moment, which is incredible, it's better than going to a gym, I'm hoping that I'll get into the routine where I get back and then I can sit and write. It's just adjusting, I think, really.
Yeah. So you've had quite an array of jobs then. You worked in adult support care and then theatre and now in a bakery. So you like to mix it up. Is it all material for your next few books?
It is kind of material for the next few books. And I do think I'm one of those people that perhaps I get bored a little bit too easily.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I don't like stress. I've done a lot of jobs where there's been a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
And I think life's too short for that. So I would rather do jobs that I enjoy. I mean, I adore the theatre. I get to see wonderful shows. I get to work with the public. It's wonderful. And with the bakery, it's cheaper than joining a gym. And as I said, I'm getting really physically fit.
Yeah.
And I'm around bread and cakes all day. So that's
What's not to like? Exactly. Do you get to take some home as well?
Yeah, if you buy them after your shift. Oh. If you buy them after your shift, you can take as many as you like.
Yeah,
that's kind of been my downfall at the moment. Yeah, I walk in the door and my partner's like, oh no, what have you got this time?
Treats for tonight.
Yeah. She doesn't want any more cakes now. We've literally had our fill.
Okay, especially today.
Yeah.
So when you do get down to writing, how do you write? Do you do it straight onto a laptop, or do you write longhand, or?
Definitely onto a laptop. Part of that is my writing is horrendous, and I cannot understand what I've written once I've written it.
Mm-hmm.
So straight onto a laptop. I know it's going to be saved. It's got spell check on there, and it's so much easier.
Yeah.
But I do keep a pad of paper beside me, just to scroll anything that I have to remember.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right. And I have notes, nice handwritten notes at the start of every book where I really concentrate on my handwriting, that detail all of the characters' profiles and the storyline, and then I can just refer to them.
Okay. Have you thought about using Scrivener? I've just started using that. It's a writing software that you can put all your notes in.
Yeah, Is it good? I've heard about it.
It's quite good. I'm just getting the hang of it. It's quite a steep learning curve at first, but I'm just writing this book in it, so I'll let you know when it's done.
Yeah, no, do, because, as I said, when it comes to technology, I freak out a little bit, but in the long run, if it's going to make life easier, it'd be foolish not to.
Yeah, might be. I'll let you know.
Yes, I'm waiting here.
Okay. Although we've met once at Elfest last year, we both went to the same university, Keele University, which is a fantastic place.
It's wonderful.
Any plans to include Keele or Keele experiences in any future books?
I tend to be a bit wary of including places. I don't know why. It's obviously just a quirk that I have. Mm-hmm. With Secret Lies, I set it in Brassley, which is a fictional town in the Midlands. With Seasons Meetings, it was in Athygiver, which again is a made-up place. So I might not... I mean, I never say never, because my life was formed at Keele. It was just so incredible.
Yeah.
I'd never say that I wouldn't use it, but at the moment I don't have any plans to.
Right.
The lessons you include from what you've learned there, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, but no drunken antics from the union or anything like that in the next book or so.
Not in the next book. I mean, the characters in Seasons Meetings are based, I say loosely, but loosely on myself. I think I'm very like Catherine.
Okay.
And one of my best friends, Beth, is a character who's based loosely on her as well. And they met at university, and we met at university.
Okay.
So... yeah, I think maybe it's sneaked in there.
Does she know that?
Yeah, she knows that.
She's all right with it.
I don't know how thrilled she was originally, but then she read it and she laughed because I've added characteristics and I've made us both slightly different than what we really are. Like, Beth is not quite as obnoxious as the Beth in the book,
yeah.
But there's certain things that she does to wind me up that she does in real life. So, yeah.
You had to buy her a drink.
Yeah,
you had to buy her a lot of cake to sweeten the mood, did you?
That's it, yeah. And I mean, I think she quite likes it because it does show our relationship. That is basically our relationship on the page.
Right.
I'm a bit standoffish and can be a little bit moody and whatnot, whereas she just doesn't take no for an answer. If she's got a way of thinking, eventually she'll get me round to it.
Okay.
So...
And your new book that you were talking about earlier is The Renegade, and that's coming out in September. So what's that about?
It's basically set in a post-apocalyptic world, mm-hmm. So it's speculative fiction.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of fascinated about what it would be like to be a survivor and, you know, how you would go about rebuilding society. Would we continue to have things that we have now, the laws? Would we be reliant on technology? Or would we step back a bit and maybe, you know, become self-sufficient, grow our own food, things like that? And also, being a lesbian, do you have kind of an ethical stance on that you have to procreate in order to save the human race? That's mm-hmm. something that I found really interesting when writing it. So,
okay.
Yeah. That's kind of where it goes, and it's a love story in basically one of the most difficult places you could live.
Yeah, it sounds
cheery.
Yeah, it's a rom-com then, yeah.
Yeah. it's dark. Again, it's dark. It's slightly out of my comfort zone, but it does have a German Shepherd in it, and there are funny moments as well. I like the light and the dark that you can include in a story.
Yeah, no, it sounds really interesting. I'll look forward to reading it, and... But it's pretty different from books one and book two. So you're sort of going off all over the place, and all you're in different directions in every book.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tangent, and I'm not sure how people feel about it. I suppose I've never been comfortable. As I said earlier, I get bored quite easily, and I always want to try new things, whether or not those things will work. I don't know. Seasons Meeting was a risk because just because I find things funny doesn't necessarily mean that readers are going to find it funny.
Yeah.
Fortunately, they did.
Mm-hmm.
And so with this, again, it's another risk. It's another risk of writing the unknown and seeing what people think of it.
Yeah. Take the leap, though. Take the leap, I say.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it pans out in September and October.
And you were saying that there's a dog in this one. Obviously, your dog Kimmy was included on the front cover of Seasons Meetings. Do you have a couple of cats as well? Is that right?
Yeah, we have Harley and Alice. They're our two cats.
Are they jealous? Are there any plans to include the cats? Are they feeling a bit left out?
I'm going to have to include them because Kimmy hasn't stopped rubbing it in their face that she's on a front cover and stars in a book.
Yeah.
So they're not happy with me. So yeah. I'm going to have to rectify that in the following few books.
I think
you should. The German Shepherd in The Renegade, 2 years ago, my mum and dad lost their first German Shepherd. His name was Paddy. Mm-hmm. And he was so wonderful. And so he now stars in The Renegade.
Oh, okay. Good. So. And what was the last Lesfic book you read? I know you said you haven't been reading anything while you've been writing, but
it's been a while. I mean, I recently picked up The Deadening by Yvonne Haidt, and mm-hmm. I mean, I love her series, Sisters of Spirits trilogy. So I kind of couldn't resist. I picked it up and started to read. And then I freaked out a little bit and thought, no, I'm going to wait until I've written mine and then I'm going to sit back and enjoy it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I've started and I can't wait to finish that
Okay. And you said that you collected the Bold Strokes and Bella's books when you were younger. Have you got a whole bookcase full of them?
Yeah, I hoard books. I can't get rid of them. It's an addiction. I've got so many. It's just... And fortunately, my lovely wife built a bookshelf for me, so they're all on a bookshelf, but I'm running out of space, so I think she might have to build me another one. I haven't told her that yet.
You just have.
Surprised.
You just have.
Yeah, when she listens to it, I can just imagine her face.
But that is a very lovely thing, and a very handy wife you have there, so...
Thank goodness, because
keep hold of
when
her.
It comes to DIY, I cannot do a thing.
No, I'm the same, so yeah. Keep hold of that one.
Definitely.
And what words or phrases do you think you overuse?
There's one in particular that I now have a bit of an aversion thing to whenever I write it. That's how many times I've written it and my editors. I mean, poor old Linda, I think she got to the point where she was pulling her hair out because it was just on every page. I don't know where it came from, but I always put, she was sat.
She was sat. Right, okay.
Not she sat.
Yeah.
Just she was sat. And I don't know, it just plagued my writing.
Yeah.
And the amount of times we had to go through and delete it. I hate it. If I've written something and I see it, it turns my stomach.
Yeah.
So yeah, that, and I also put very a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one.
You need to go through with the find and replace on the very.
Yeah, definitely. They're my two worst crimes.
Okay.
I think.
Do you? I've just been editing book three today, and I'm finding that I use words and phrases different ones. I overuse different ones in different books. So in book two, in my first edit, I had the word arse quite a lot, and this one, people keep cocking their heads. She cocked her head. She cocked her head. I'm just like, why do I keep using that?
Yeah. Oh, what was it on Seasons Meetings? My copy editor went through and highlighted. I'm trying to think what it was now. I think it was. It might have been something like she shrugged, I've remembered. A split second later. And she shrugged.
Yeah.
She highlighted them all, and there were so many of them. And I was like, I didn't even realise I'd written it that many times.
No.
It was mortifying. Yeah.
The perils of writing. And a final question. If you could be the love child of any two writers, alive or dead, who would you choose?
Well, my dad would be Shakespeare, because I just love Shakespeare.
Solid choice.
My mum is slightly unconventional. I'm going to go for Dolly Parton. And I know people will say she's not necessarily a writer. She's definitely not a writer of novels.
Yeah.
But her songs are like mini stories.
Yeah.
And I love her. Yeah. And just to be close to her in a non-stalkerish way would be wonderful.
I can hear the love coming through loud and clear in your voice there. So,
yes, no. Love, not stalking. No, no. Not stalking.
If you're listening, Dolly, love, not stalking.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very, very much, Amy. It's been really, really fabulous. And you've been great. And I hope you have a lovely rest of the evening.
Oh, I can't wait. right, I'm going to go back home now and I'm going to put pyjamas on and I'm just going to relax and not drink any more coffee.
Okay, sounds like a plan. All right, take care.
You too, and thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Well, that's the end of this lesbian book club. So this is me, Claire Lydon, signing off. Remember, if you fancy dipping into any of my books, London Calling or The Long Weekend, you can find out more at www.clairelydon.co.uk or just look me up on Amazon. See you in March for more book club action, where we'll be rounding up the lesfic news as well as asking book reviewers what they love and hate about the world of lesfic. See you then.